Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, good Friday evening to you. I hope that it has been a good week, and I hope that you are looking forward to a good weekend. I know that for a lot of folks, this evening is going to be some sort of romantic evening with your spouse, with your intended, maybe with your memories. But a lot of people this weekend are going to be celebrating Valentine's Day in anticipation of this coming Monday, because Monday is Valentine's Day, but Monday nights are a little harder to pull things together. So if you are listening to this and you're saying, "Oh no, please don't talk to me about Valentine's Day. I don't want to hear anything else about Valentine's Day. My life is not romantic." I have good news for you. There is a greater love. God is the one who ordained the family. He made us male and female. And he, in the Scriptures, teaches us how to be good husbands and wives, as well as how to be good parents, how to be good children, employers, employees, citizens, etc. Whatever your role, God tells us in his word how we can live that role in a way that honors him. So I am so grateful to have a very special guest in the studio with me, my precious wife. Ever since 1975, we married in August of 75, and that was before some of you were born. But we've been together through all kinds of circumstances, and some of them were very romantic, and some of them weren't romantic at all. We've been through all kinds of things, and God has kept us faithful to each other, faithful to him, and I'm so thankful that the Lord blessed me with such a wonderful godly helpmeet.
Thank you.
So, Susan, 1975 was more than four decades ago. Tell us, were you looking to get married when you met me?
I wasn't looking to get married, no, I wasn't.
You had pretty much decided you weren't likely to be married.
Right. I was a fairly new Christian, and my 100% of my passions were about finding out what the Lord wanted me to do and following after him.
And that was what attracted me to her. I heard her before. I've told many people many times, I fell in love with this lady before I ever laid eyes on her, because I heard her sharing a testimony of what God was doing in her life. And as I listened to her, I began to try and reposition myself in the room we were in so that I could see, who is that talking? I'd never met her before, but I heard her sharing her passion, her love for Jesus, her gratitude for what the Lord had done in her life, and her desire to serve him and see others come to know him. And I thought, that's somebody who loves Jesus like I do. I knew that I needed to marry someone who was going to love the Lord more than she would love me, because that's the only kind of person who would ever be accepting of the fact that I'm always going to love the Lord more than I'm going to love her. And that is not detracted from our life at all. Hasn't detracted from the romance in our relationship. What it has done is cement us together.
It absolutely makes me much more attracted to you to know that Jesus is your life.
Amen.
And you have embraced me so much better as a result of that my entire life.
Praise
and
God.
And it's not because everything's been Valentine's Day and roses and chocolates. We have actually, our very first child was born severely handicapped. And I was completely at peace with the fact that Jesus had this. It was not a surprise to him. Mm-hmm. He planned it, and it made our relationship with each other far deeper, far better, because he was the center of it.
Amen. Over 80% of couples who face that kind of challenge divorce, because it's just, you know, it's a huge strain. But in our case, we came closer together because we...
And we shared the load. We absolutely shared it. You didn't run away and think, oh, no, I can't do this. I didn't run away and think, oh, no, I can't do this.
Amen.
We both pitched in. And I can't say that it's been easy,
mm-hmm.
but it's been so rich.
Amen.
Just so many things that we would have never known or understood that God has revealed to us as a result of having our son, who, by the way, is now 43 years old,
mm-hmm.
doing remarkably well,
mm-hmm.
just talking about Winter Jam up at the house with me, and some Christian artists that he's met through the years. He has been such a surprise time and time and time again, and the fact that he's still alive is a surprise based on what we were told.
Amen. Amen. God has been so kind. Now, when you start introducing children, though, in a marriage, all of a sudden you have to take a little bit different approach to romance. if you want to go out for dinner, you got to get a babysitter.
Yes.
If your child is handicapped, you have to get a very special kind of babysitter.
Yes.
And so, you know, there are challenges that come with having children. So we just decided, you know, one is enough, especially with all those challenges. We're not going to have any more kids. Is that right, baby?
No, but we were actually encouraged strongly to go to a genetic counselor after Paul was born. And the genetic counselor told us our chances, that's literally the word they used, our chances of having future children with spina bifida had just dramatically increased. I mean, dramatically increased.
From 1 in 500 to 1 in
33. And my husband's response to that was, well, thank you very much for your work. If I believed that our life was run by chance, I would accept your counsel and never had more kids. But I actually believe that there is a God, that he is in control of the universe, and he will never give us anything that we can't handle, because he'll enable us to.
Amen.
And you had a really nice, as you always do, stated much better than I just stated it, but come to Jesus moment with these people.
Yeah, it was an literally opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Yes, and our lives have been just amazing. We are so grateful to God that he gave us two more sons.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton was born, and they weren't really planned. God planned them.
Yeah.
And
but they weren't resisted.
But by the way, I mean, right now I can just picture them as adults, the men that they've become now.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome men of God.
Amen.
Clayton is now the executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch.
Yep.
And he didn't give up his full-time job to do it.
Amen.
So he's very gifted, and God is using him.
And his younger brother, Andrew, is the principal at St. Andrew's School here at Ware's Valley Ranch.
Yes, and he lives on a farm.
Yeah. Now, but we really spaced them out. My parents spaced their kids 4 years apart so that they could put us through college one at a time. They had my brother. 4 years later, they had my sister. 4 years later, they had my brother, John. And 4 years later, Mom miscarried, and then she miscarried again. And so I was born 6 years after John. But my parents wanted to be able to put us through school one at a time.
And then you ended up with a mother who was 43 when you were born and a father who was 48. So mm-hmm. it was more like being born to your grandparents.
That's right, in many ways. But now let me ask you a question. Did we space our kids that far apart?
No, we didn't.
So we had Clayton how many months after Paul?
20 months and 6 days after Paul.
Wow. So less than 2 years.
Yes.
Boy, I'm so grateful we didn't repeat that.
Yes, we did, exactly, to the day. Andrew was born 20 months and 6 days after Clayton, and that was only planned by God.
Amen.
And I just was just thrilled and
amazed.
found extremely humorous when I was still in the hospital trying to figure out which of my two sons would be closer together in age. And I started doing the calculations, and it was like, oh, my goodness, that's God's sense of humor.
Yeah. Clayton is an exact middle child. So with those three kids, that was a very full quiver, especially with Paul's needs. And so when our youngest went off to college, we were finally empty nesters. And God said, ha ha.
And by the way, we did plan not to have more biological children.
Yes.
We did plan that and took action so that that couldn't happen.
Unless God did.
Unless God intervened, because he does do that. And we have people who could probably tell us stories that are amazing about how God does that. But we had decided that we wanted to have a children's home someday.
Yes.
And that we were going to be trying to care for other people's kids. And if we had a whole quiver of our own, a huge quiver of our own, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. So when our youngest went to college, after we'd already started the children's home, things are going well here at the children's home, God told us he had some more children for us, didn't he?
Yes, and we ended up adopting four more.
So we ended up with a total of seven kids.
Yes.
Nobody would look at you, babe, and say, I bet she's had at least half a dozen kids. But God.
Thank you. That's sweet.
God has blessed our family, and we love our children, and we love the dozen grandchildren that we have so far.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendously blessed, tremendously thankful. I want to read a little bit from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, because he says some things here about the way that we're supposed to live. And in this context, when he talks about the relationship between husbands and wives, it's an amazing ideal, but listen to this. This is God's word in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And then he goes on to talk about children and parents and their relationship. So clearly, and this is just one of the passages in the scriptures that talk about God's pattern for the family, God's plan for the relationship between husband and wife. When Jesus was asked about divorce, he said, don't you know the scriptures? In the beginning, God's plan was that a man should leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and the two should become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So scripture, from the beginning all the way through the marriage supper of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, honors marriage as a beautiful plan of God. Also, by the way, honors singleness as a gifting on some people's life. But the fact of the matter is, God's word is very clear. There is a way to relate to one another in the family, in the home, that honors God. And we are supposed to aim for that. But when you look at the scriptures, it's really hard to find an example of somebody who lives up to that standard. All the way from the Old Testament through the New Testament, you find families that are in trouble, families that don't do what honors God. And so I always go back when, you know, we work with children from families in crisis here at the ranch. And I want folks to understand their problems are not unique. Their problems are not unheard of. If you go back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, they had two boys, Cain and Abel. Cain murdered Abel. Now that's dysfunction, okay? So from the very start, our parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. And that was displayed tragically in the relationship between their two boys, their firstborn sons. And yet, God in his mercy didn't give up on mankind. God ordained that through the seed of woman, which is something we can talk about on another broadcast, but that is a reference to the virgin birth, the seed of the woman, through that, God would bring forth salvation. And so we see all the way from the Old Testament through the New that God works with families and individuals who are dysfunctional, who are broken. Jesus came to save whom?
Sinners.
Exactly. And that's what he found here. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was coming to. God's amazing love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come and say, well, I'm going to save these people because they're not sinners. He didn't come and say, well, I'm going to work with that family because they're pretty healthy family. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the consequence of that sin is death.
And all we need to do each time that we find ourselves missing the mark is repent. Mm-hmm. And repentance involves changing your behavior. And if you start practicing it, it'll eventually become natural to you, and you'll be able to take a step in the right direction.
Yep.
But none of us are ever just going to be perfect in this life. And we have to be patient with one another as well.
Amen.
One of the things you asked me to share today was that you read that passage from Ephesians. Mm-hmm. That was one of the biggest aha moments in my life when I saw, and a wife must respect her husband. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say anything about a husband having to respect her wife, but men need respect. Mm-hmm. And the time when I really embraced that and saw it was when I had kids who were getting a little older, and they weren't totally affectionate and kind to me all the time. And sometimes they would talk back to me, and that was very upsetting to me. I felt like I was just a really great mom to them, and they were being very disrespectful to me. And all of a sudden, I realized God spoke to me big time and said, let me explain to you, the reason your kids are behaving that way toward you is that you're their most important role model in showing them how to respond to their father, and that's how you're responding to him. You need to understand that. And as I began practicing and praying and asking God to help me and put his hand on me, mm-hmm. I saw my kids change too.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful thing. God not only instructs us, but he also sent his Holy Spirit to give us the power to choose to do the right thing. But that involves a lot of repentance.
Amen.
Through the course of our lives. I've had to repent a lot and practice a lot.
Well, I'm very grateful that you haven't come to a point in your life where you said, well, you know, this is as good as it gets. I'm not going to change anymore. I think I've come a long way, and I'm going to stop growing. It's now time for me just to indulge me. I deserve this. I've had 7 kids. I've worked hard. I helped found this ministry. You know, I poured into this and into so many lives. Now it's time for me just to take care of me. You haven't done that.
By the way, my passion for Jesus is greater than ever. Never feel like I measure up because I don't in and of myself.
Right.
But when I keep my eyes on Jesus,
amen,
my life is getting better and better, and I'm learning more and more.
Praise
it's God. Amazing to me. So I'm just rejoicing and thanking God that he is a good, kind, awesome, gracious God who made a beautiful creation to admire. Everything he does is good, acceptable, and perfect.
Amen.
And I absolutely love and adore him.
Amen. The Lord is faithful, and I am extremely grateful that God has blessed us as he has. I will say to you, if you're listening and you say, well, that all sounds nice and I'm happy for you, but you have no clue about my life. Okay, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're facing. But I know someone who does. Mm-hmm. God knows what you've been through. God knows what you've done right, and God knows where you've messed up, and God loves you. He understands your situation. He understands your situation far better than you do, and he cares for you. And I just want to encourage you not to give up, not to feel like, well, you know, I don't have anybody to have a Valentine's dinner with, so I'm just going to sit here and do social media and feel bad about myself. Why don't you sit there and talk with God?
Amen.
Spend some time with him. Nobody loves you like he does. My parents.
And nobody deserves your accolades and praise more than he does. Nobody deserves it nearly as much.
Yeah. My parents were married for almost 60 years, and they were so devoted to each other. My dad was a true romantic heart. He used to write poems for every occasion. He was a wonderful poet, and he wrote, you know, for birthdays. He wrote for Mother's Day. He wrote for all the special occasions, and he wrote so many love poems to my mom. And after Dad went to heaven, Mom would sit in her chair and read those poems from my dad. And it was beautiful, but my dad wasn't there to hold her hand. My dad wasn't there to give her kisses. I remember when they'd been married just under 50 years at this point, I believe it was. Maybe it was when they were married 50 years. But Susan and I were visiting them in their home in North Carolina. And my mom came walking through the living room. Dad was sitting in a chair. And he reached out and grabbed her by the arm and swung her around and into his lap and began kissing her. And, I mean, here's an elderly couple. But they were still so in love. And when it was Dad's birthday, he would get the however many years old he was, he'd get that many kisses from my mom. And Susan and I just had the most delightful time witnessing the love they had for one another. But there came a time when Dad was no longer there. And Mom had her memories. But folks, that's not all. She had her Savior.
Amen.
She had her Lord. And she spent time not just reliving precious memories, looking at photo albums and poetry books, but she spent time in prayer, praying for her children, praying for her grandchildren, praying for her neighbors, praying for the missionaries she supported, praying for the spread of the gospel throughout the world. You can, whatever your situation is, you can bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my love first and foremost to be devoted to you. I want you to be my treasure.
And let me explain to you that God loves people with thankful hearts.
Amen.
And you can thank him. You can go down the list for a long period of time and offer him praise, adoration, mm-hmm. all of those things. Not just offer your requests to him, but see him for who he is. He's God.
Yes.
He is divine. He is awesome.
Amen. And he cares about you. Don't let the devil con you into thinking that God is not someone you can trust. That was the lie that got our parents in trouble in the garden. God had told them you can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden except this one. If you eat this one, you'll die. And Satan came along and said, did God really say that? You won't die. You're not going to die.
Because he is the liar and the father of lies.
Yes. Well, he's still using the same lie today. He's telling people, you cannot trust God, you cannot believe his word. And folks, the purpose of this broadcast, night after night, is to say to you, oh yes, you can trust him. You must trust the Lord. He will never lie. He will never fail to keep his promises. And he sent his son to save all who trust in him. So I am imploring you as you listen, even this night, reach out to him and say, Lord, save me. Be the Lord of my life, the ruler of my heart. You have loved me, and I love you. God bless you. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.